Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Can I get everybody to bow their heads with me for a short prayer? Father in heaven, we want to thank you for another opportunity for us to come together and worship with you today. Lord, we pray that your spirit will be upon us, Lord, as I share the message with your people that you first have given to me. Lord, we also want to thank you, Lord, for the time that we also got to spend with family this week. So please continue to bless us as we go throughout this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to bring something to everybody's attention this morning. The title of the sermon is God Can, But If Not. So as I go throughout this message, I want you to remember, God can do it, but what if he says no? So with that being said, I want everybody to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. I'm going to move kind of quickly. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And you have it, say amen, so I won't leave you behind. So listen to this. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of what? What kind of thoughts does he have for us? What is it? Oh, no good. It's thoughts of peace and what else? Yeah, we got to work on it. And what else?
Not of evil.
Not of evil, right? Not of evil, right? We all read the same Bible, right? And it says, to give you what type of an end? Is an expected end what we call a, is it a happy ending? Is that what we call it, right? Y'all don't agree with me? An expected end is a happy end, folks. So when somebody says, you know, I wonder what God wants for my life. I mean, what does the Bible clearly say? He has an expected end. He's thinking good thoughts. He wants everything to work out for you. It's funny. You know, the world doesn't tell us God thinks about us like that. All right. Now, keeping that in mind, go with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. I want us to see something. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Matthew 6, verse 10. And I'm going to read it in your hearing. Listen to this. Talking about the, how to pray. Jesus says, thy kingdom what? Come. Thy what? Will be done on what? Earth as it is in what? Heaven. Why do we have to pray that God's will be done on earth? You know why? Because God's will is not always done on this planet. So the Bible is letting you know from the get-go, everything that I see happen, this war over Israel, God said, that's not what I want. When something bad happens, that's not what I want. What do insurance people say? Lightning come down and strike your house. That was an act of God. God said, I had nothing to do with that. We attribute stuff to God that God has nothing to do with, folks. Like I said, I want you to think for a minute, right? So why do we pray thy will be done? Because why do we pray for people who are in trouble? Didn't Kenny just get finished doing the prayer, right? Why do we pray? Because we want God to have a what? Expected end for the people in whom we're praying for. Do any of y'all ever pray for bad stuff for people? No, we don't do that, right? Okay. Now, is everybody still following me? Now, go down to verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but what? Deliver us. Deliver us, right? So what's the word? It says, deliver us, right? Do we get in trouble? You know, we never pray more earnestly to God when we get in trouble with some nonsense that we should have never got into in the first place, right? You ever notice that? Your prayers become a whole lot more serious. So, the Bible says, God says, I have an expected end for you. But you have to remember that sometimes you have to pray for my will because my will is not always done. And then, on top of that, I want you to keep in mind that God wants to deliver you. Is everybody understand what's going on so far? Everybody still with me? Gotta try a good one. Mark is dry. All right, all of them dry. So I'm gonna do the best I can. All right, so now we're gonna go through some stories. And we're gonna take a look at the details of each one of the characters in the story. And then I want you to listen and tell me what you think. So the first one I want to go to is Daniel chapter 3. All right, Daniel chapter 3, we're gonna start at verse 17. Daniel 3, verse 17. I'm gonna draw a list. Can y'all see this or it's too bad? All right, appreciate it. Huh? All right, everybody at Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. Now, what is this story about? Somebody tell me. Come on. What? That's right. Also known as the story of the fiery what? Furnace. Now, listen to this, starting in verse 17. Remember Nebuchadnezzar called them up? hey boys, y'all must be hard of hearing. You must can't follow directions. Like I tell my students in my class, you must can't follow directions. When the music play, you supposed to do what? Bow down. So he calls them up to the front. Come here, let me holler at you for a minute. So he tells them what he wants, right? Now look at here at verse 17. This is their response to Nebuchadnezzar. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Is that a true statement? And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Now, you know, first three words of verse 18, we don't like those words. What's the first three words say? But what if God chooses not to deliver me from you? But if not. Be it known to you, just in case he don't, let me go ahead and make this clear for you, King Nebuchadnezzar, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know, some of us only want to follow God when he gives us what we want, right? But what did they say? Even if God don't work it out the way I want it worked out, I'm still going to do what he asked me to do. Is that sinking in? Let me ask y'all a question. So what happened in the story? And Nebuchadnezzar said, oh, y'all right, y'all can go back to y'all seat. What'd he do? Grabbed all them by their britches and did what? Threw them into the oven. That's right, he made it hotter first. He turned up the heat on the oven first. Now, what does the Bible say happened when they got thrown into the furnace? King Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, advisor, come here for a minute. I see four. And did the Bible say the guys came out of the furnace? The Bible says they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. You know the interesting thing? There was something that was burned in the fire. Does anybody know? The ropes. The things that had bound them was the only thing that was burned up. When God takes you through the furnace, whatever's bounding you, you come out free with him. Amen. Everybody understand that, right? Amen. That is an amazing story of deliverance, right? Okay, so the three boys, do they go and deliver or not deliver? They go over here, right? Someone put our three boys over here. That's a story with what? An expected end. This is the happy ending, folks. This is the ride off into the sunset. That's a good story, right? Okay, let's take a look at another one. Let's go to Daniel chapter 6, verse 20. Daniel chapter 6, verse 20. Now, what was the rule with Daniel? What got Daniel in trouble? He was praying. What did Daniel do? Kicked his window open. Still stuck his head out the window so everybody can see. and continue to pray, right? What was the result of that? He got thrown into the what?
Lion's den.
Lion's den, right? We're going to start off next morning. King comes in. 6 verse 20. And when the king came to the lion's den, he cried with a lamentable voice, O Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? So the king called. It's amazing that the fact, you know, if I throw somebody into the lion's den, am I going to go back the next day and call your name out? Think about that for a minute. That's kind of crazy in and of itself, right? The king must have had some type of faith, right? Do we really read the stories? Verse 21, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Can you imagine what that sounded like to the king to actually hear the person who you threw into a den of lions respond to you? Verse 22, my God hath sent his angel and done what? So when Daniel got thrown into the lion's den, the Bible said them angels grabbed that mouth of lions and held it shut. That they hurt not what? Me. For as much as before him, what does it say? What? Say that again. Innocency, right? Innocent means he was not guilty of what? Anything in whose eyes? God's eyes. Innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done what? No hurt. Look at verse 23. Then the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den. And what does it say? No manner of hurt was found upon him because he what? Believed in his God? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't even have the smell of smoke on them when they came out the furnace. When Daniel came out of the lion's den, he said, Daniel, let me see your arms. Let me see. Got no tooth marks nowhere. Check the back of your legs. You don't see no tooth marks anywhere. He didn't even have one bite. Is this an amazing story of deliverance? Did Daniel get an expected end? So which category? Y'all not deliver. Y'all say deliver, right? Okay. So over here, we're going to put Daniel right here, right? Looking pretty good, right? Let me ask y'all a question. Can God deliver from any situation? So why do we pray to God and sometimes doubt what he can do? You could be praying and you'd be like, God ain't going to do this. Come on, folks. The stories that we read, come on. How could we think that? Now, y'all still with me, right? Now, let's switch it up a little bit. Can we switch it up a little bit? Let's go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. We're going to study about somebody else that we already like. Who is this talking about? John the Baptist. Already. Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. Listen to this. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. Who's in prison? Wasn't John the Baptist a horrible criminal? Didn't he do the most atrocious things? No, he didn't, right? And he locked up. He's in prison. Did he ever see a miracle that Christ did? He heard about him, but he never saw him. Go to verse 11. This is what Jesus has to say about John the Baptist. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women. Is anybody in here not born of a woman? Raise your hand. Okay, just want to make sure. There have not risen a greater than what? John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Jesus himself said, of all the people born of women, John the Baptist is the greatest. And he was a what type of guy? He was also an innocent guy, right? Did John the Baptist commit any crime, y'all? No. He committed no crime. So everybody's still with me, right? We're studying about how God delivers, right? Okay, let's go to Mark chapter 6, verse 17. Mark chapter 6, verse 17. Mark 6 and 17. So listen to this. Here we go. Mark 6, 17. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John. Oh, man. Let's see what kind of crime John did. And bound him in prison for who? For who? What's her name? Her name is Herodias. She's horrible, ain't she? Herodias' sake. His brother, whose wife? For what? Did John do anything bad? I'm saying, look, no, you can't have your brother's wife now, okay? That's not a good thing. But why'd he get locked up? Because he committed a crime, or he told somebody something that they were not supposed to be doing? Okay? For John had sent unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore, Herodias, what do you mean when you have a quarrel with somebody? What does that mean? He's like, I got an issue with you, right? You ever tell somebody something that's true and you weren't even trying to be offensive, but yet they still take it the wrong way? You ever do that? Now, here's the thing. And would have, what's the word? What's she want to do? Does she want to slap him on the hand? What does the Bible say she want to do? She want to kill him. Folks, did we read these stories sometimes? You ever had somebody tell you something that was true and you want to kill them? It's kind of rough, right? And she would have killed him. But she would. She couldn't what? She could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy and observed him. Was John innocent? Yep. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, and that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords and high captains and chief estates of Galilee, and the daughter of said Herodias came in. And the Bible says she danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him. And the king said unto the damsel, ask unto me whatever you want, whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. Verse 23, and he swear unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it unto thee, unto the what? Half of my kingdom. That's a lot of money, right? That's a whole lot of money. So then she went forth and said unto her mother, Mom, what shall I ask? And she said, take the $1 million. We read the same story. She said what? Mama, forget all that. We got money on the table. I don't think you heard me, Mama. She asked for what? Ooh, well, we want to do evil and we want to be conniving. Somebody offered y'all $1 million of the head of your worst enemy. Which one are you taking? No, in fact, don't answer that question. But the thing is, are we paying attention? People in the Bible, just like us, folks, that woman was so mad. She was like, I'd rather see that man's head come off his body than for me and my daughter to benefit for the rest of our life. She was serious, right? She's not playing. Verse 25, and she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, I will that thou give me by and by in the charger, the little plate, the head of who? John the Baptist. And the Bible says the king was exceedingly what? Yet for his what? Oath's sake. I don't want to look stupid in front of everybody. You ever do what's wrong because you don't want to look stupid in front of other people? And for the sakes which those who sat with him, he would not reject her. Don't get peer pressure. What does the Bible say? Don't follow a crowd to do evil, folks. That's what the Bible says. And immediately the king set an executioner and commanded that his head be brought. Hold up. John is in prison. John is hearing about all the wonderful works that Christ has done. Who prepared the way of Jesus?
John the Baptist. Who was innocent? John the Baptist. John was like, you know what? The Messiah is here. I'm in prison and I'm locked up. But you know, Daniel's thrown into a lion's den. I prepared the way for Jesus. He's going to come and deliver me. He's going to deliver me. God walks into the room, pulls out the sword. Yeah, I remember the story about Daniel. I see the sword. God is going to deliver me. God takes John, pushes him down. God is going to deliver me. I've heard about everything he's doing, all the miracles. He's going to deliver me. God takes up the sword, comes down. John feels the blade in the back of his neck. Lord, not like this. Why? What's going on? John's head comes off. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't John innocent? God, what is the problem? You let the three Hebrew boys, you helped them out. You helped Daniel out. They were innocent. Daniel said, because I was found innocent, God delivered me. Now I got this man in prison who paved the way for you. And his head comes clean off. Why? Because he told somebody not to sleep with somebody they weren't supposed to sleep with. Nebuchadnezzar tried to take over the whole world, made everybody bow down to a statue. He ain't gonna tell me what to do. God, Lord, help us sort this out. I don't understand. Then to make matters worse, bring his head to me. God, why they gotta go and pick his head up and put it on a plate and then hand it to her? What you think the look was on her face when she got that head? She was happy. Greatest prophet born amongst women. The head of that prophet looking at a person that plotted against them to kill them over a trivial matter. But yet God took down an entire empire when a guy literally built a huge statue in the middle of nowhere and told everybody about it. Y'all starting to see where I'm going with this? Why does God deliver some people and others he don't? It's sad. So, you know, I want to write John's name over here so bad, but I can't. I have to put John's name where? Over there. That's a sad story, folks. I wanted John to get out of prison and go forth with Jesus. He looked forward to that. Okay? Go with me to Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Acts 7, verse 51. Everybody know who this is? What's his name? Stephen. His name is Stephen. Stephen was the first what? First martyr. Catch y'all a question? Can somebody list off the crimes that Stephen committed? A lot of innocent people going down today, isn't it? Committed no crimes. So we know Stephen is standing before the religious leaders. You know how y'all church folk are when we talking to people. We like to insult when we talk to people, right? Look at the first words out of Stephen's mouth. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in your hearts and ears. You do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Every kid in here and every adult, y'all know what this look is? Any of you had your parents look at y'all like that? Mm-hmm. Ms. Anna say, yep. I had my mama look at me like that. When somebody start looking at you like that, what does that mean? You might want to shut up, right? You might want to keep your mouth shut. What does it mean when you say you start looking at somebody sideways like? I mean, you might want what? Shut your mouth. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, and whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers? It feels so bad when somebody is laying into you about the truth about yourself. It is so hard for those words to get through. Why is it so easy for people to fight in relationships? Because you know each other. You can't wear a mask in a relationship. When we go to church and go everywhere else, I can put my mask on and y'all gonna only see what I want you to see. But when I'm in the house with you every day, you know what, Brother Kenny? Comes off. The whole situation is different. You know what it is about relationships? You learn more about yourself than you would any other time in your life. Because your partner gonna let you know. And who's better at cutting, men or women? Excellent. Break you down. But why does the Bible say we need to be careful about how we say stuff? Because by how you say it, the person may never hear it because of how you bring it to them. Is Stephen cutting these guys? Yeah, he is. He's cutting them. Who have received the law by disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the what? When you get cut to the heart, what you do with your teeth? You better shut up. You should notice how the Bible is a very... We think we're reading about other people, but folks, we're really reading about ourselves. And it says they gnashed their teeth on him. And you know what the Bible says? They were like just tight, just angry, just gritting their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly. Unto where? Heaven. Stop. Listen. Stephen looks up. Who does he see? Jesus. What story comes in your mind about God personally coming to save people? Three Hebrew boys. Oh man, they talking about killing me. I'm literally seeing Jesus. I'm going to be delivered from this. It's not going to happen. Not today is not. Not today. Y'all can look angry all you want. But the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is now in the forefront of my mind because I'm seeing Jesus already. And he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right. Oh man. It's only a matter of time before Jesus just step on down and come down there where he is. Amen. That's what happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Jesus stepped from heaven down to earth to do what? To deliver. And he said, behold, I see this heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried with a loud voice and they stopped their ears. Why people get like that? And they ran up on him with one accord. They cast him out of the city. Look, they take one stone. Stephen, like, that stone ain't gonna hit me. God stopped the fire from hitting Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I see that stone coming. That stone ain't gonna catch me. Oh, okay, Lord, you let one get through. Lord, what's going on? You delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm innocent. Why do I still feel rocks hitting me? How does the rest of the story go? Stephen said, Lord, don't. Forgive them for what they do. Not like this. Folks, everybody in the Bible didn't come out with a story saying God delivered me. Some people went down. Not like this. Why under these circumstances? Why can't I win? What's wrong with me? I'm doing everything you asked me to do. Daniel didn't even have, the boys didn't even have a smoke of fire on him. You know, Psalm 44 says, God, why do you stand afar off and you let these things happen to me? Psalms 10:1 says, why, God? Why? Why do you let stuff like this happen to me? Is sometimes you dying or a person dying God's will? Is there anybody that we can think of in the Bible where it was God's will that that person should die to help others? Does anybody know? Jesus. Let me ask y'all a question. When Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, did he say, Lord, is there another way out of this? Didn't Jesus say that? He did, right? I don't know why we'd be thinking when people got ready to die in the Bible, they was like, holy, holy, holy. No, it wasn't, folks. It was a scary, traumatic experience. Sometimes we read so much about what happened with people in the past. We think that when we get there, we're going to be in there like the Marvel of the Avengers with an S on our chest and everything else. Folks, that's not how it works. Do you know? You know, I bet in your minds when y'all think about stone of death, y'all think about one rock fine that you're hitting you on top of your head and you die. folks, getting stoned to death was a very painful experience. How many rocks do you, matter of fact, how big of a rock can I pick up at one time and throw at you? A little itty bitty rock like that thrown at you. You didn't die from the first hit, folks. It was a couple minutes, and depending on how resilient you was, you were getting hit by rocks for a while. See, we read the stories, but we don't really read the stories. You see what I'm saying? Oh, that wasn't nothing. They got stoned to death. That ain't one. That ain't nothing. But Jesus said, not whose will? My will. But what? God wanted who to die? He wanted Jesus to die. On the road the next day, these two guys were upset, and they were walking with Jesus, didn't even know it was Jesus. And they say, man, we trusted that it would have been him who would have delivered us. That's funny. The very thing that was supposed to that upset them was really the thing that saved them. Isn't that interesting, right? The thief on the cross, can I ask y'all a question? How many people do y'all think are going to be saved in heaven because of what the thief did? How many people do you think are going to be saved just from reading this thief story? Countless. You know how many people are on their deathbed at the last minute and the story of his life comes to their mind and they've actually asked God for forgiveness at the last moments of their life? When the thief get to heaven, he walking around, people gonna come up to him all the time. Man, it was because of you. What? I got no idea what you're talking about. What are the three wonders when we get to heaven? Kenny was talking about earlier. How did I get there? How did you get there? And why other people who we thought were supposed to be here not here? Three wonders in heaven. At the last moment, he used a story about a guy that died. Last moments to save him. How many people been in the hospitals? How many people been on their deathbeds? How many people over there in Israel, right before a building comes down, or you see a tank coming down the street, who probably asked, Lord, help me before it's all over. God will use the death of others to in turn save other people. Amen? And I'm finna close with this. Hebrews 11, 35 and 40 says, people were starved to death. They were torn apart by animals. They were cut in half. They were sawn asunder. They were ripped apart. But the Bible says all these people died without the promise of deliverance. Folks, we act like death is a strange thing. God has warned us about what it's going to be like. But he says, I have done these things so you will have an expected end. Let me explain it. So why is this relevant to us, right? We all in here, we Seventh Day Adventists. One of the main things that we push and one of our things is that the beast is going to take over. The organization is going to take over. Revelation chapter 13. There's going to come a time where a religious / political power is going to take over the entire world, and then force everybody to worship. And if we do not worship this religious / political power, what's going to happen? What does it say? There's a what kind of decree? It's a death decree. Why does the devil threaten people with death? Well, when I'm sitting up in my house and I'm eating my veggie grillers and you walking around going to church on Saturday and you talking about how you got a relationship with Jesus and how you saved by faith through grace and everything in your life is going good and people ain't bothering, nobody pushing you. Oh, it's so easy to be faithful when things are going good. Imagine another question. In the story with the three Hebrew boys, how many Israelites went into King Nebuchadnezzar's nation with Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? How many other Israelites went into Babylon with them? The whole nation, right? When the music played, guess what the rest of the church folk did? Just because you associated with God's people don't mean you got a relationship with God. was a whole bunch of other people down there that bent over. I don't believe it, but I'm going to give in anyway. Do we really read the stories?
I don't know. I don't think we do. But notice the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, I close with this. The same people that get killed by the beast, the Bible says that they are in heaven and they sit with Jesus upon his throne, right beside him. God's purpose of deliverance, folks, is not this life. Let me ask y'all a question. One last question. Are any of y'all going to care about how y'all got to heaven when you get there? Any of y'all gonna complain if you got there by the skin of your teeth? I don't care if God barely get me in the gate. You think I'm gonna care? I don't care how he gets me there, as long as he gets me there, right? I did more than you. So I'm enjoying the same thing you offered me to go get to the tree of life. I got the same benefits you got. My insurance plan just like yours, eternal life. I got everything you got. What you not gonna bother me, not one bit. So the Bible does say God will deliver some people temporarily and some people he won't. But the whole point is that God says either way, whether if I let the bad happen or I let the good happen, all of you will have an inspected end. So where will your heart be in the final days of Earth's history? Amen.